This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm with Dr. Fergus Simpson from the Royal Observatory in Edinburgh. Hi.
Hi there.
So there was a big press release in January on the BBC about something you work on, the CFHT lens survey, about weak lensing and mapping dark matter, and
That's right.
Sounds really mysterious to me. Can you tell me more about it?
Sure. Well, what's happened is the CFHT lens survey has mapped quite a large area of the sky. We've spent 5 years staring at this patch of the sky and measuring the shapes of distant galaxies. And what the shapes of distant galaxies tell us is about how dark matter is distributed in the universe, because the dark matter has been distorting the image as it traveled over billions of years to the Earth. And so these distortions allow us to pin down where the dark matter is located.
How is the light distorted? Like, how does that work?
So it's bent by gravity in the same way that the same sort of forces that are holding the Earth to the Sun and the Moon to the Earth. And light also feels this effect, although we don't really notice it on an everyday basis, because most of the light we deal with doesn't travel for very long periods of time, so it doesn't have time to fall to the ground, for example.
It's related to the relativity, instant relativity, and the
right.
Bending of space-time.
Exactly.
And
so
like
we use the predictions of Einstein's theory of relativity to predict how much light gets bent as it travels for billions of years through the universe.
Is it a lot of bending, or how do you detect this?
It's actually quite a small effect, because the universe is actually fairly smooth. So typically the galaxy looks, roughly speaking, it looks quite elliptical, and it's distorted by around about 1% by this distortion. So you can't, for any single galaxy, you can't really tell what's going on, but we look at very large numbers of galaxies, and then they appear to line up on the sky due to this distortion. So that's the technique we use to try and locate the dark matter.
So it's like if all galaxies in a certain area will be kind of lining up in one direction, you kind of know that
exactly.
It's distorted in that direction.
Exactly, yeah.
So you say like a large number of galaxies, like what kind of area of the sky are you covering?
It's several hundred times the area of the full moon, so it's sort of about the size of your outstretched hand on the sky. So it's a much larger area than we've mapped previously, so it's the first time we've got a very clear picture of the large-scale structure of dark matter in the universe.
And how far back in time, how distant are you looking? Is it just local sky or...?
So the galaxies we're looking at are from several billion years back, we're looking. And so the distortion accumulates over that time. So all the dark matter between the galaxy and ourselves is what we're measuring.
That's pretty cool. You're looking at light coming from galaxy, and the way they line up with each other just tells you the shape of what you can't see.
Exactly, yeah. It's a unique way to map the dark matter. There are other ways of learning about the universe. We can look at the positions of galaxies, and that does tell us a great deal. But using this lensing technique is the most direct way to get at the position of dark matter.
What are the other techniques out there?
So galaxies aren't randomly distributed in the universe. They clump together. And so we can learn from the way they're falling in towards each other something about gravity. But we can never really directly see the dark matter because it doesn't interact with light.
Yeah. So what did you find with your big survey in terms of the dark matter?
Well, intriguingly, the dark matter maps that were created from this data matches up very nicely with the predictions from when we simulate the universe in a computer and we look at what we expect to see. Then the sort of filamentary structure you may have seen on the BBC matches up very nicely with the simulation's predictions.
And before this CFHT lens survey, there was no data. It was only simulation and...
Well, there was a very limited amount of data, so less is perhaps the area of the full moon on the sky, and so a very small patch, so we couldn't be too sure of how well it was behaving. We couldn't see the full filamentary structure. But now we have many hundreds of times larger area, so we have a much better idea of what's going on.
Nice. And what's next?
Good question. There's a lot of surveys in the pipeline. A particularly ambitious one is called Euclid and involves covering half of the entire sky from a space-based telescope. So we're going to be able to look deeper and with higher resolution to get a finer detail of what's going on.
So is it just like a project or is it actually going to happen?
Well, Euclid was selected by the European Space Agency as one of its missions, and it's due to launch in 2019. So all going well, then in another decade or so, we should have a vastly improved picture of dark matter, and it's a project that covers half the sky to a great depth.
That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it is, yeah. We're also using the data not just to map out the distribution of dark matter, but we're also using the weak lensing information to tell us about the other major component of the universe, the dark energy, which is causing the universe to accelerate outwards.
So lensing is basically the tool to understand dark.
Right, it doesn't discriminate about it, so it can equally see dark matter and dark energy and baryons. So it's a very useful tool to directly probe the dark universe, yes.
So how do you use that to probe dark energy? What is dark energy exactly?
We're not really sure, to be honest, but that's why we're conducting these experiments. But we do know that the expansion of the universe appears to be accelerating, and what is driving that we call dark energy. And so the change in the expansion rates alters the lensing signal in the same way that the strength of a magnifying glass changes as you pull it towards you and away from you. It changes the distances involved. So hopefully we'll learn more about dark energy in the future too.
So I guess for that you need a lot of wide area and very deep data to really map.
That's right. We've already made progress with SafeHT lens, and we'll be presenting results on dark energy in the future very shortly.
Very exciting. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. I hope you enjoyed the conference.
Thank you very much.